Shkalim Perik Aleph, Mishnah Gimel 1-3, and we return now to the topic of the collection of the Shkalim coins. B'chamisha sarbo, on the 15th day of the month of Adar, Shulchanos hayu yoshvin b'medina. They would establish, a Shulchani is like a money changer. So in the Medina, which according to the Bartanura means in Yerushalayim, in Jerusalem, they would set up money changers. According to Bartanura, the pshat is people are coming from afar and they're bringing foreign currency and they won't know the exchange rate and how much silver is in there, you know, how to exchange their foreign currency for the shekel that they need to give. And therefore, you have these professional exchange, money exchangers called the Shulchanis, who are there in Jerusalem to facilitate that exchange. Later on, it says, Be'esrim v'chamisha, on the 25th day of Adar, so I just got 4 days to go, Yashvu b'mikdash, the money changers even set up shop in the base of Mikdash, further sort of prompt people to make sure they get their acts together and get and contribute their machs shekel, their shekel to the base of Mikdash. Now, the way that the Rambam learns throughout Mishnayos, Medina refers to not Yerushalayim, but to the whole of Eretz Yisrael. And Mikdash refers to not just the base of Mikdash, but the precincts around it in Jerusalem. And that's the case according to the Rambam. The pshat is that from the 15th of the month of Adar, already you have in every Jewish town throughout Israel, money changers set up, facilitating them to have the shekel they need to make the contribution. Whereas, and then on the 25th, they also now set things up in the base of Mikdash to further prompt people to get their acts together and make their contributions. Now, Mishayashvu b'mikdash, from when they set up the money changers in the base of Mikdash, that's the 25th of Adar, also hischilu l'mashken. They also began to actually seize against people's will a collateral, a mashkon, to ensure they pay their shekel, for the machzor shekel. That is to say, they would, you know, confiscate people's whatever it is, shoes or pens, I don't know what they took, until they paid their shekel, to force them to pay. Now, the mission will list who was coerced this way. Esmi b'mashkinan. Who were the people who were forced to pay by this method? Leviim v'Yisraelim. People who are from Levi, Shevet Levi, as well as other Jews, meaning, of course, Kohanim are explicitly and conspicuously missing from here. The reason why the Kohanim are missing, we'll get back to in a moment. As far as Leviim are mentioned explicitly, because since the verse from which this is based talked about the census, and the Leviim were not included in the census originally, back in Kitisa. So you might have thought that the Leviim were not included in the contribution of the Machzor Shekel. So the Mishnah says, otherwise, no, Leviim must contribute their Machzor Shekel, as well as all Jews. Geirim v'avadim m'shuchrarim, same goes for converts and freed slaves. So a convert, of course, is a Jew in every sense of the word, but since the verses over there in the Torah refer to Bnei Yisrael, one might have thought erroneously that comes to exclude converts. Wrong. They're participating fully like everybody else. As well as avadim shuchrarim, freed slaves. If you have a non-Jew who becomes a slave owned by a Jew, so it's a complicated procedure, including the fact that he has to accept upon himself to do the mitzvahs, to keep Shabbos, etc., like a woman, like a Jewish woman. And he has 30 days to do so. Otherwise, he has to be essentially returned. In addition, he'll get bris milah if he's a male slave and be immersed in a mikvah for the sake of this role of being an eved. And that's like considered to be sort of halfway to being a convert. And that being the case, the eved already is a non-Jew, but as an eved kanani, already is obligated to mitzvahs like a Jewish woman, just exempt from the mitzvahs women are exempt from, like mitzvahs ashish, shizman, grama, etc. But if you're mishachrer them, if you free your slaves, now he becomes a full-blown Jew in every sense of the term, like a convert. He's like a convert to the back door, and he becomes a convert too, and therefore he also is a Jew who must contribute his machzor shekel to have his portion included with everyone else in the kapar that's affected in the avod in the base of Mikdash. Avalo nashim, we do not collect from women. The reason why is because the verse specifically talks about an ish, men, back in the census verses, and therefore women are exempt. They don't have to contribute. And also, vavadim, slaves. Here we're talking again about avadim, an eved kanani, a non-Jewish slave, not a Jew. An eved ivri, of course, would have to. He's a Jew. And katanim, and children are exempt. Now, fascinatingly, the Bartanura learns that the katanim, the children of our Mishnah here, are referring to children, boys, certainly girls are exempt altogether, but boys under the age of 20, which is quite remarkable. Almost everywhere else in the whole of the Torah, Katan's referring to a boy who's before Bar Mitzvah. But since the Psukim talk about census, and census was taken from 20 years old and up, so the Bar Tanura, like the Sefer Chinuch, learned that it only starts from the age of 20. Others do not like that. The Rambam and the Ramban on Chumash both understand this Katanim here refers to Katanim in general, as it does everywhere else, meaning from Bar Mitzvah age. Kol katan shehischil aviv lishkol alav, lishkol al yado, any child for whom the father, during the child's lifetime, the father began to make a contribution, especially on his behalf, even though the child was exempt. So, shuv eno posek, now the child cannot stop giving on his behalf, meaning for argument's sake, if the father gives on behalf of his child, who is technically exempt from giving to the machzor shekel, and then the father dies, the child, although he's only now 12 years old, or maybe less than 20 years old, as the case may be, must continue to give his machzor shekel. It doesn't stop. And by the way, similarly, those bezman hazeh who give the half shekels on Erev Purim on behalf of their household, if you're giving for your children as well, once you start, you can't stop. Ve'enu mashkinan es ha-kohanim. Now, they didn't seize property from the kohanim as collateral to force them to pay, but made darchei shalom, for the sake of peace. The idea being that the kohanim as it is are essentially are serving in the Beis HaMikdash, doing all this work, they're not getting paid for it, and therefore it would sort of, you know, rankle them to be strong-armed, to force to pay the machzor shekel if they're insisting they're going to do it anyways, so then, you know, just going to make them unhappy, and then we don't want unhappy kohanim who are serving us in the Beis HaMikdash, and, you know, perhaps even could be worse than unhappy. So that being the case, we don't confiscate anything from the kohanim. We trust them to do what they say and to give their machzor shekel. And the truth is, in the event you have some sort of really recalcitrant kohen who refuses to give, so the Bezdin will sort of, in compensation, if you will, for his services, actually grant him a portion of the assets there, so he also as a participant in the Beis HaMikdash with the whatever being bought with those machzor shekels, so he's included anyways.